buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob is producing and engineering the show for us today on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this midweek edition, Wednesday, October the 4th, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And in a very timely matter, we have the podcast usually up within a couple of hours of the conclusion of each show, and we have cataloged and archived on a very convenient way. You just type in the search mode, put in somebody's name, and it will pop up. And over the last almost 7 years of doing this program, we've got every show, with a few exceptions. Some of the shows that we re-air, we don't put up there but when I'm away. But anyway, they're all there for you at buckmastershow.com. Our live line, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation, because the first Wednesday of the month is Showdown Month. Next month we go to the first Thursday of the month will be our monthly Showdown. But anyway, we do want to say the views expressed on the Buckmaster radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors. It's time for our monthly Showdown on the Buckmaster Show, where left meets right, right meets left. Seated to my left, appropriately enough, is David Morales. Mr. Morales, the creator of a very popular blog site called The Three Sonorans, which first went up in, let me guess, David, 2010?
Yeah, June 2010.
There you go. David has a master's degree from the University of California, Berkeley. The guy just loves mathematics, and his master's degree is from me. Joe Morgan, I can barely balance my checkbook. I mean, that's kind of my mathematical exercise when I get into it. Anyway, David teaches college math at Pima Community College. David's new sparring mate, this is the second month for our new team, conservative columnist for the Arizona Daily Star and WesternFreePress.com contributor Joseph Morgan. Joe has been hosting a weekly talk show here on KVOI. The name of the show is Common Sense. It airs a Saturday afternoon at 1. Joseph also has an advanced degree. His degree is from the University of Arizona, a master's in history. Joe, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. And David, everything going well?
Excellent.
Let's talk about today the take a knee controversy, for want of another description, and we're going to mention and talk a little bit about Joseph Morgan's column on the whole national anthem protests, which, Joe, you articulated in your piece that I think was supposed to air Sunday, wasn't it? But it wound up airing last Thursday.
Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday.
And Sarah explained that to me.
Sarah Garrett Gass, an editorial page editor.
Yeah, she explained to me that because of the timeliness of it, they had just released their own editorial opinion mm-hmm. about it. And she goes, this would be great. So for timeliness sake, I'm just going to run it on Wednesday. So, yeah, I usually write on every other Sunday. But, yeah, that's what it did.
What bothers you about these protests?
Well, for me personally, I can honestly say when Kaepernick first did it, I'm a San Francisco 49er fan, actually. So I was there on the front lines of him doing it right when it started last year. I don't necessarily have a problem with somebody either in the stands or anything of that nature protesting or sitting or not standing or whatever. You know, I'm not a statist in the sense that I believe everybody should conform and stand and everything else. However, from the human perspective of respect, when I go to any event, whether it's large or whether it's small, and I've been to numerous ones, and they ask you to either stand for a prayer or stand for just a moment of silence even, or stand for the national anthem or
you
the pledge.
You do it out of courtesy?
I do it out of courtesy. And then for me personally, mm-hmm. out of love of my country. I do love this country and everything else. So I am going to respect the flag and that. But as far as thinking somebody doesn't have a right to do that, they do certainly have such a right.
Certainly,
but
a First Amendment right.
Correct. So I've been to football games and stuff where not every single person around me was standing. Most people are. The vast majority stand. And I can't tell you why they're doing it or aren't doing it one way or the other. But out of respect, when they say, please rise, or again, no matter where I'm at, I think you should do it. And to not do it then is showing a disrespect. And the proof of that is he had to explain himself to begin with to say, I'm not trying to show disrespect in one way or the other. I disagree with that contention as well. But that being said, he wouldn't even have to say it had he been participating, because it is a disrespectful thing to do when they have asked you, please rise for
yeah, they
this,
say usually the wording is, please rise and honor America. That's kind of the way it goes. David, let's bring you in on this. You disagree with Joseph.
I do, because I think, first of all, you know, I think what people do blindly, like robotically, doesn't mean anything. You know, and they just rise, and so then when you do something differently, then you're come under challenge. First of all, I don't usually put my hand. I don't think it makes any sense to put your hand over your heart and pledge allegiance to a piece of cloth. Personally, it doesn't mean I don't like America. It just means I think it's kind of ridiculous. And I think the national anthem is racist, and I think the third stanza is racist, and it talks about. It's a slave owner talking about how his black slaves who are trying to escape to the British, you know, army were shot as they tried to escape. And I don't even think that should be our national anthem, you know, and I don't care. It has nothing to do with America. It's something that someone decided one day that was our national anthem, and it's racist. And I'm never celebrating the national anthem ever again. That's what I think.
Would you prefer America the Beautiful?
It's better, but if you study the facts, national anthem, you know, first of all, it's celebrating the War of 1812, which, you know.
Third stanza, you know, it's there, but it is rarely performed, right?
That's the thing. People don't even know there's four stanzas to the whole national anthem. And I think if you want to sing it, sing it. Let's talk about the bloodshed of the slave, you know, as he tries to escape, you know, his slave master and going to the British side. Like, if that's what you really want to sing, let's just be honest. Let's do it.
So are you saying it's almost a racist, it's a tribute to racism?
It's a tribute to slavery, and if you dare escape slavery, we'll shoot you, and we're going to celebrate that. Francis Scott Key, slave owner.
Joseph Morgan.
Okay, so I have a quick question for you. Is the third stanza of that poem the national anthem?
The whole thing's the national
anthem. No, it's not. Yeah. Is the third stanza the national anthem?
It is.
No, it's not. It's part of a poem, and the first stanza was selected at some time because of the words that were describing what was an event in the bombing of Fort McHenry in Baltimore, and he saw the flag and everything else. It was that verse that was taken to be our national anthem.
Formally done at one point, do you think?
I'm not sure. I haven't even looked at the history of
when
they did it.
I would just be curious.
But the larger point that I'm bringing is that the third stanza is not the national anthem.
But if you want to play that game, Under God was never in the original Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes, but it was put in there.
So it's not the original.
It doesn't matter. Originally, we didn't have a Pledge of Allegiance. At some point, they decided to do a Pledge of Allegiance. And then they decided to add Under God.
It's all politics.
Okay, that's fine. But my point, which is why, again, I'm not suggesting that you ever mandate somebody mandate as far as citizens. Now, once you're in the military, they have a code with regards to the flag. You have to mandate that kind of stuff. Yes. There is a different thing with regards to the military. What I'm talking about is the average American, you should show respect. And again, with regards to, just like I said, just in any incident, if I'm at a funeral and I'm asked to be quiet for a moment of silence or bow my head out of reverence for the dead, I'm going to do it if I'm in said settings out of respect for the people that I'm around, if nothing else. However, I do believe that all Americans should be showing respect to this nation, because this nation has done a lot of good in the betterment of mankind.
Enslaved a lot of people.
And we want to do better, and the flag represents an ideal, which is what I talked about in my piece.
Of slavery.
It does not represent an ideal of slavery. It represents an ideal. The nation was found in the Declaration of Independence. The Constitution was trying to create a government that somehow brought into line the freedom that was idealized in that nation. But we constantly go back to and try to get our structure and our government to line up with the ideal presented in the Declaration.
Let's see if we can get a call in here before we take our first break on the Buckmaster Show. Lauren wants to chime in on this. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid Mr. Morales is getting my blood pressure up again.
I hope not.
Let me say this quickly. Okay. I was in the service. That's not the point. I visited many poor countries, desperately poor. People, you know, lacking everything. And servicemen from wars past came home to this country, and the first thing they did was they kneeled down and kissed the ground. It's not a piece of cloth. It's what it represents. I would say, Mr. Morales, how many poor countries have you visited? Don't you see how special this country is?
So for the first, 100 years of this nation, should a slave, just respect the flag because of what it represents?
You know, that's a small fraction. That's a small fraction of the whole.
It's a big part because first generations there were slaves, and their parents were slaves.
I don't know why we're still talking about it. That's been over and done with for more than 100 years. Why is it still an issue?
So how about segregation after that?
We've resolved a lot of that. Lyndon Johnson, President Kennedy, many presidents addressed that. These are ills of society. Society is not without problems.
Okay,
why,
Lauren.
Why can't we focus on how special this country is?
Thank you for weighing in here. We're going to take our break right now, 12:16. It is the monthly showdown, Joseph Morgan and David Morales. If one or both have gotten your blood pressure up, maybe calling in would help, sound off a little bit. That's what we try to do here on the showdown, have both sides represented. We'll be right back.
What is Zauschneria? Come find out at Tona Chule's Fall Plant Sale. Tona Chule's Fall Plant Sale will have an extensive offering of both the typical and the unusual, from native, cold, hardy, and adopted plants from agaves to Zauschneria. Make plans to attend Saturday, October the 14th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday the 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The plant sale is located in the propagation area at 7211 Northern Avenue, the first street west of Ina and Oracle intersection. For more information, visit tonachule.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, we talk travel with Bon Voyage Travel's Ryan Hansen. Also, world-renowned comet discoverer Dr. David Levy joins us. It's Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening podcast and the complete show archive at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show, and it is our monthly showdown. David Morales to my left and Joseph Morgan to my right. My featured topic was not going to be the necessarily what we were discussing during the first segment, the take a knee controversy. Because we're coming up on Columbus Day, I did want to get a little bit into the whole thing about monuments. Should the Columbus statues come down? But let's maybe we can carve out a couple of minutes for that somehow during this segment. But okay, getting back to caller Lauren, you wanted to say something, David.
Well, I was going to say one of the things he said was the soldiers come back and they kneel. And I was right. Going to say, well, Kaepernick was kneeling. And you know, I could see, okay, if during the national anthem, if people were being rowdy and yelling at something, but kneeling is not a bad thing. In church, you kneel all the time. And, people have this selective notion of American history, you know, even going to Columbus, that the Lauren was saying, well, there was slavery, but let's ignore that. Let's talk about the founding fathers all the time, but let's ignore the fact that during the Declaration of Independence, they said all men are created equally. Meanwhile, they called their slave over and said, hey, slave, you know, do this for me, do that for me. And the conflict. And I think that's interesting, because it doesn't mean I hate America. It's just it's reality. How do people say all men are created equally and then write a concept, that says the blacks are 3/5 of a person? How do people say all men are created freedom and liberty for all and then have slaves at the same time? And I think that's interesting. I think we should talk about that.
Lauren told you to get over slavery, I believe. Isn't that kind of basically he was telling David, get over slavery?
We keep dredging up the past. There's a part of me that agrees with that, because if you keep dredging up the past, I believe you should learn from the past, and that's why I'm a historian. I love the past. But if you live in the past, you're never going to be able to reach into the future. It's never going to happen, because you're constantly weighed down by the problems of the past, as opposed to learning from the past and saying, what can we do? And the thing that, as you criticize the founders for what they did, no other country on the planet did what these people did. They created a document that was all about ideals, and yes, they struggled to even live up to those, and we continue to struggle to live up to those, but we're the only ones that ever did it.
You're talking about American exceptionalism?
No, I'm talking about the American ideal that was codified in the Declaration of Independence. Those ideals have never been written down and codified anywhere else that are in that declaration, that all men are created equal. This idea that we are actually equal as human beings, there's an intrinsic value to us all. Nowhere was that issued anywhere.
So what?
Else.
It's words.
No.
They had slaves.
It's words that we live up to. It's words that we are trying trying to get up to. And that's what that flag represents.
It's all
and
abstract.
So hold
nonsense.
On a second. So okay. When you say.
One at a time, guys, because when two people talk on the radio, correct. We don't hear anything.
When you say Kaepernick is in a form showing respect, context is everything. Mm-hmm. For when you go to genuflect and kneel before the priest or whatever, I've been in many Catholic services and everybody kneels down and prays together. If somebody continues to stand and refuses to kneel at that point because he says, I can reach God on my own recognizance, nobody in that crowd is going to sit there and go, yeah, he's being respectful, especially if he's been asked to kneel. So my point is context is everywhere to the everything to the action. And this does not even get into the specifics of what he claims to be protesting. This is just talking about the optics of it. And this is what one of the things I hit on in my piece. Martin Luther King Jr. and those who protested with them, they understood that, and they attached themselves to the ideal of America and said, we are included in that, and you have to do something with that, and they embraced the American flag, and they embraced the national anthem.
I think this is part of selective history, because Martin Luther King was also very, very critical of America and the war, the Vietnam War that was going on, and all the black people that are going to fight, you know. Like, that's the thing. It's selective history. When people talk about these people, it's selective. And you know, to have – even in the Constitution, it says we're going to allow the slave trade to continue for 20 years. We're going to – and that's and during that 20 years, they imported more slaves than the whole entire history. That's America, okay? So
the reason
I mention this stuff is because when I listen to conservative radio, mm-hmm. I always hear about the Founding Fathers and the Federalist Papers and the past – and they never mention slavery. And then when I mention slavery, they say, get over it. I'm like, well, get over your fantasy for the Founding Fathers and their document. They were slave owners. He raped his slaves. He had kids with his slaves, and he didn't even give them their inheritance. This is the Founding Fathers. So if you want to talk about the whole thing, if you really, really want to focus mm-hmm. on them, let's focus on all that is them and their flaws. And they lived in a different time. So let's just get over the past. You want to bring it up? All right, fine. You know, let's talk about it.
I was talking about a reference to the ideals, which we still cling to. Hold on a second. We still cling to and maintain to today, do we not? Those ideals. So
the ideals that the slave trade can continue.
No, that's not.
You're talking about the ideals of freedom?
Codified in the Declaration of Independence.
They had slaves.
Okay,
one at a time, guys.
Okay.
Thomas Jefferson, if you remember, he wanted to include specific reference to getting rid of slavery in the Declaration. And for political reasons, they could not do it.
He didn't have to own slaves, though.
I'm not justifying his sins. That conversation is never, because he was violating those very ideals. Which is why, ultimately, a civil war was inevitable, because we created it around an infrastructure and a structure for political reasons mm-hmm. that were directly in violation of the very principles that we claim to grab a hold of. And that's what the flag represents, is that we are going to continue to push down so that we can attain to the ideal. And when we stand and we say, I'm protesting in the midst of something that is honoring that ideal, the optics of that is you cannot get past that.
This is what I think is part of white privilege, is when you talk about ideals and not reality, all right? The reality is, not the ideals, okay? The reality is, we have a document that says freedom and liberty. And yet, you know what? It's Republicans always that's restricting my freedom and liberty. You know? Who's always passing bills against gay people? Who's always passing bills against Mexicans, Mexican-American studies? Who's always passing bills against us?
All right, I've only got about 3 minutes to go, but I do want to go back to what is Columbus Day is coming up. I think it's a week from Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So should we bring down statues of Christopher Columbus, David Morales?
I mean, I don't know why we're celebrating a genocidal colonizer. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy, I don't know what's so separate. He didn't discover America even. There's people living here. This is white privilege. It's like, yeah, he discovered America. And then they brought, you know, years of genocide.
Actually, Leif Erikson, I think, might have been the first one to.
Well,
yeah,
he's the first one we know about. It's European.
But anyway.
First European.
So, Joe Morgan on the statues of Columbus, should they be coming down?
I honestly don't care. And here's why. I believe just like with regards to the Confederate statue issue,
yeah.
President Trump said this, and I totally agreed with him at this point. it's a local matter. Local communities, our governments, our histories, they all interplay, and different people have different things that are motivating at different times in their history.
So they should be entitled to do what they want.
If they
want to
take things down, take them up. I mean, it doesn't make a difference to me. And again, Christopher Columbus also doesn't really have any real connection with the nation of the United States, for example. But I think local communities should do whatever they want to with regards to that. And I've never understood why it was a national holiday. I don't know the history of how it even became one, but I'm not necessarily opposed to people taking down statues of it, you know. So because again, I believe in local government. I believe in freedom of the people around there to make those decisions.
Well, local government is also, you know, states' rights, which allowed slavery to exist because the federal shouldn't get involved in the state's decisions.
Slavery existed because of greed, human greed.
And this is one last thing I'll say about this. So people talk about America being so great and stuff. America would not be the economic power it is today were it not for free labor, slavery, exploitation of even today immigrants and stuff. I mean, it's not about capitalism. It's not about these ideals that you talk about. The reality is there's exploitation, there's slavery, there's all this stuff going on. Mm. That is the reality of the situation. But you can hide behind ideals if you want. But the ideals, you can live with it. But for other people, they have actions, they have reality that affects them every day.
So the success that has been brought specifically to minority peoples, if you look at their level of income, even though, there's still disparities across minority groups in this country, but in comparison to other parts of the world and everything else. So you're saying that those ideals have not helped raise them up as we brought down and destroyed things and institutions that were contrary to said ideals, that having the ideals there did not help actually better the world for blacks, for Hispanics, for Asians, for anybody who's come to these shores? Why didn't do people flock to the shores of the United States
because,
if that is true? If that narrative is true.
Because we're the major exploitative force in the nation.
Oh, so they're coming here to be exploited. That makes a lot of sense.
No, because we go to other countries, we take their oil, we take their resources, and we're the richest country, and so people want to come be part of it.
That's simply not true. People engage with us in commerce. We're not taking anything.
They give us all our oil in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're just here, please. All right. Please come take our oil.
David Morales, The Three Sonorans, is David's blog. And Joseph Morgan, we will hear from Joe and see his work in the Arizona Daily Star. And we will hear from him on this radio station Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. What is your topic? Have you decided yet?
No, sometimes it's all over the map. I'm going to be saying something about the Las Vegas shootings, and of course, by that time. But there'll be other things.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for having me, Bill.
12:31 on the Buckmaster Show. David Safir of the Tucson Weekly is next after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of our program is presented by Green Things, my favorite place for all things green, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito Riverwalk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and they have these great free workshops for all gardeners coming up. I think there's one on Saturday from 10 to noon usually, but go to greenthingsaz.com for more information. David Safir is here. David is one of two dozen contributors to this program, and we're delighted to have him on the program, and I've asked him before if he's a gardener, but maybe we won't go there right now. You like things. You like to look at green things.
I love
you
the
lived
green
in Portland.
And natural world. Yes, I love
the
it.
The city of roses, right?
I yeah. personally don't have the greenest thumb you would find around here.
David Safir writes primarily about education, but he also writes occasionally about the media and some political stuff too, right? At TucsonWeekly.com, that's the website for the Tucson Weekly. And David has been writing about education primarily for the past, was it almost 3 years?
Well, 3 years at the Weekly, but before that I was at Blog for Arizona since about 2006. I think it's more than a decade now.
So you've been doing blogging for really over 10 years.
Right. It's kind of my second profession. I taught for more than 30 years and then got out of the biz and was still paying attention to all this. And I found that there was a blog for Arizona, where I could actually write. And I did. And, you know, as you write, you learn more about the subject and become more involved in it on a larger level than as a classroom teacher.
Now, Tucson Unified is talking about, the grading, this kind of new system that the state is using to grade individual schools and districts. How did TUSD do?
The answer is, and this is the real answer, we don't know how they did. And I'm going to be airing my grievances here, because there was a front page article in the Star today that talked basically about how lousy TUSD did. But you have to ask, compared to what? Now, this article was only about TUSD. And you know the old saying in newspapers, if it bleeds, it leads, right? You've heard that. And that means that if there's something that's messy and macabre and things like that, you put it on the front page because people will buy those things. Well, I think that the Star has an attitude which is, when TUSD bleeds, it leads. Whenever they can get a negative story about TUSD, they'll put it on the front page. So this is a story that, if you look at it, it talks about a mere 7 schools in TUSD got an A grade. There's an A through F grade from the state. And I think it said that 8 schools, I can't remember if it's exactly 8, got an F grade.
Yeah, it's 8. Thank you, Bob, for bringing that information up on my screen. 7 received an A, 17 received a B. A C went to 31 Tucson Unified Schools, and a D, 18, and then the failure, the F, went to 8.
Right, exactly. Now, the Star says in the article that they had information from all the Pima County schools except for Marana, and yet the only one they ran was the one from Tucson. Now, I don't have the other information yet, Bill, but I would like to see it by comparison, because that's what we're talking about. It's a comparison between what TUSD does relative to what other schools do in the state. These grades aren't an absolute something. They could have given 20 A's or they could have given no A's. They could have given 10 F's or they could have given no F's. It was their choice. So we don't know how they chose yet. What happened was, and this is a little bit of the backstory, the districts got the state grades either yesterday or the day before. And they were told to keep the grades to themselves. In other words, don't let them out to the public because until the 9th. I think Monday is when they were supposed to be released, so that the districts would have time to look at them and digest them. And also, if they wanted to, contest a grade. They could say, I don't think such and such a school deserved the grade it got, and give them time. Well, a lot of the newspapers, a lot of the journalists objected to that. They said the journalists have a free speech right, and this is true by the First Amendment, to have that stuff and you can't sequester it. So TUSD and all the other districts in Pima County, except for Marana, went along with that and released the scores. I would like to see all of them or none of them. And this isn't a journalistic thing. It's just I've been doing a lot of work, Bill, and I'm about to publish some of it, about how districts compare in terms of their students, their poverty rates, and the kind of scores they get on these AZ merit state tests. And the comparisons are what are important, not what comes out by itself. So TUSD may be lousy in terms of its scores, or compared to other schools that have similar number of kids who are on free or reduced lunch, they may be right in the middle. We don't know. So and I think this is
the superintendent, I was going to say, Dr. Trujillo said he is concerned especially about the middle schools, because half of the middle schools at Tucson Unified received a D or an F.
The middle schools in TUSD are a problem, and I've looked at the number of kids in the various schools, you know, the enrollment, and you see that after the fifth grade, the enrollment in TUSD drops. In other words, in the sixth and seventh and eighth grade, it drops, and then it goes back up again in the ninth grade. So that means that people are leaving TUSD either for charters or for other districts during those middle school years and then coming back. If that's true, he's absolutely right. There's no question the district has to work on improving its middle schools to keep students there. I don't know why that's the case, but of all the areas, that's the weakest spot in the district.
What do you think generally of the Arizona State Board of Education with this? This is relatively new, this particular accountability system, because schools obviously have to be, we have to know, I guess, how they're doing overall. We have to have some kind of a report card.
Or do we? We didn't have it before, so Obviously we did without having to before. This isn't completely new. We stopped having grades for 3 years, but in 3 or 4 or 5 years before that, we had the A through F grades based on the, remember the old Ames test, was the standardized test the state gave. And then 3 years ago, I think it was, we went from the Ames test to a completely different test, the AZ merit test. And they said, we don't know how this test is normed. We don't know how it works. So it's unfair to give schools grades. So they waited until this year to give grades again. So it's not a new system. The problem with the grades bill, and I've said this on the show before and I've written this a number of times, is many people say, and it's fairly true, that you don't need grades, all you need is zip codes. If you know where the school is, if you know the relative income of the families of the students that send their kids to school, you pretty much know how that school is going to go. And I've looked down these schools, and if you look at, you compare free lunch with the grades they get, the more kids on free lunch, the lower the scores are on AZ Merit, and generally, no, not always, the lower their scores are in terms of their state grades. So all this does is pat on the back families of wealthy families who are in wealthy districts, sending their kids to schools that are people like that. Catalina Foothills is the perfect example, that doesn't have a single school with more than 20% or even 20% of kids on free lunch. And even though the mean in this
you're saying
state
the whole free
65%.
Lunch thing's a really good indicator.
It's the only one we have. It's the only one. Free and reduced lunch is people at poverty level or up to 38% above poverty level. So this is a good indication of the level of poverty in the school. And Catalina Foothills has low poverty and high scores all the way around. So do schools in Scottsdale and in a few Mesa and a few other very high income areas. And so we're not really learning something that we don't already know, in essence.
All right, 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. David Safir sticks around for another segment. Perhaps there's something David has said that has, you'd like to disagree with him. 790-2040, but I'm not saying you can't call if you agree with him. Call in anyway. We'll take the break right here, and when we come back, what's the latest now concerning a possible move for University High? We'll talk about that right after this.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico is looking really good right about now with temperatures in Tucson unseasonably hot, near record-breaking, around 100 degrees. It just normally does not get this hot in October. But we can pretty much guarantee that Silver City in Grant County will be 15 degrees cooler. So much to do over there when you get into the Gila National Wilderness. The aspens, the color is up right now, the autumn color. Beautiful time of year over in Silver City in Grant County. Visit their fine website, Southwest New Mexico, spell that out, .org, and they'll take care of you with everything you need to know about where to stay and great ideas of things to do in Silver City. Things to do right now, rejoining our conversation with David Safir, who writes primarily about education at TucsonWeekly.com, their section called The Range, and it's aptly named because it pretty much covers everything from A to Z. David, speaking of, I know you've covered basis charter schools in the past. What did you think of the Arizona Daily Star's Sunday report on basis?
Well, I'm happy to get a word in because I just trashed the Star for a story today.
There you go. Here's your yin and yang.
Here we go. Yeah. You know, Bill, on Facebook that on Sunday, I said, what a great issue we had on Sunday of the Star. And I listed some of the best things in there. Mm-hmm. And I think that Hank Stevenson, who writes on education, who wrote that story I just raked over the coals, I think is an excellent writer and does a good job. But this story on basis by, and I hope I'm not going to massacre this name, Yuyung Jung is the name of the young woman who wrote it, is simply the longest, most comprehensive piece I've read on basis. And I include the stuff that I've written because I write them in bits and pieces. And she puts stuff together. I read something like that when I know the subject to say, okay, I'm going to catch her in any mistake. Not only didn't I catch her in mistake, but she added to my knowledge about it. Anyone who wants to know about basis in a large sense, both the good things about it and the problems with it, you can't find a better comprehensive, it's long, comprehensive mm-hmm. article than that. It's really excellent.
Yeah, the Sunday Star, really one of the best editions I've seen in a long time.
It's shown.
And it really
nice.
Looked really good. Talk a little bit about, David, this proposed move for University High. And for folks that don't know, can you tell us a little bit about where is this Honors High School located now and where would it be perhaps moving?
University High, first of all, is a test-in school, meaning it's a very selective school, and to get in, you have to test high and to show how excellent the students are, I looked at the passing rate on AZ merit of schools, all of the state schools, and the highest in the state is University High School, where 97% of the kids pass the standardized AZ merit test, which makes sense because they're chosen because they're those kinds of kids. And they come mainly from Tucson Unified, but it's such a good school that kids from the Catalina Foothills District come in, and Vail District, and districts all around if they can test in, because really it's a premier school in the city, in the state, and in the country. It's really a fine school.
It's usually ranked in the top 10 nationally.
It, like the basis schools, it ranks high, and I don't like the rankings very much because the rankings are based on the number of people who take those advanced placement classes. But still, it deserves it because it's really a terrific school, and a lot of our top people in this city have are graduates of University High.
So it's in its current location.
It's in Rincon High School, if you know where that is. Mm-hmm. That's on 5th, right off of Swan. Mm-hmm. And it occupies the school along with a traditional high school, Rincon High. They split up, I'm not sure exactly how, the building. And they, by the way, they do their sports together. They have possibly the finest marching band in the city. I think, if not the finest, is one of the finest. And there is a combination of the kids from both University and Rincon High. It's kind of a nice mix. But University High can expand in terms of the number of kids who would love to get in there, but it can't expand where it is right now because the school is busting at the seams with the two schools in it. So the plan, and I'm going to say right now that I'm very wary of this plan, there's another school, Catalina Magnet High School, not Catalina Foothills, Catalina Magnet High School, which is to some extent under-enrolled. And the plan is, the proposal is, because it's not a plan, it's a proposal, is to take the kids from Catalina Magnet School, have them move over to Rincon. So Rincon would then be one school that has all of the students more or less the same, you know, kind of the regular run-of-the-mill high school student rather than the university high school students. And University High would take over what's currently the Catalina School. And so it would have room to expand 400 or 500 more students easily to fill up that school. And that is the plus. Some people, by the way, I have to say, Bill, don't like the idea of University High School because they think it saps the rest of the district by pulling away the best and the brightest. I tend not to disagree, though I understand their point. But it makes a great deal of sense if you like University High School to let more kids in it, because right now it's more selective than it needs to be. But the problem is, what about those kids right now at Catalina High School? Mm-hmm. That's basically in a neighborhood. It's been part of the neighborhood forever. Those kids would have to be bused, whatever it is, over to Rincon, which is 2 or 3 miles away, I believe. Mm-hmm. The neighborhood around Catalina High has the most internationally diverse students of any area around here.
I believe it's kind of like a mini United Nations in that area.
I hate to say the number, but I know there are dozens of languages, and I think it may be like 50 or 60 different languages spoken by students there. So it's got a unique sense. It's kind of a unique community. Unfortunately, it's small in terms of the enrollment for the size of the school, but you've got to think about what you're doing in that case. And I'm very, very leery of moving those kids, mm-hmm. more than I'm concerned mm-hmm. about moving University High over there.
I wonder if there's another alternative, perhaps a building that is not being utilized right now, one of the schools that has been shut down in the past?
Well, here's what I would love to see, and this is a pie-in-the-sky idea. Leave University High where it is, but mm-hmm. create a second campus.
Right.
And ideally a second campus in the west, because University High mm-hmm. is in the east of Tucson, and ideally heading south, so it's in the community that right now is predominantly Hispanic. Mm-hmm. And then if you have two schools with the same requirements to get in, you would be able to have an overflow. And I'm not sure exactly how you would decide which student goes to which campus exactly, whether that would be done arbitrarily. But if it were up to me, and again, this is pie in the sky stuff, but I would love to see it happen, take over one of the middle schools that's been closed or something like that, and make that either a humanities social science magnet school or an art science magnet school for the University High. Both of them would have a comprehensive program just like they do now. But one, if you're a math science guy or gal, you'd go to that school because they have the best labs, the best computers. And if you're more of a humanities person, you want to be able to move up in the humanities to college level work, that's where you would do it. And for me, that would be the ideal situation. RINCON and university have a wonderful symbiosis between them where the kids kind of interact in a number of ways, and I hate to break that up.
What are you writing about? What can we look for at TucsonWeekly.com?
What I just put up, and it's just up today, is something about the results-based funding that the information just came out a few days ago and is based on the AZ merit grades, and it will be based on different things. It's important to know because I told you about zip codes. Well, the extra money that the results-based funding is going to bring in will be going more to the rich zip codes and the poor zip codes. And it's going to be, Bill, for every teacher at that school between $5,600 for every teacher and $10,000 for every teacher. This is big money.
Yeah.
Big money. Is. You can give teachers a $3,000 or $4,000 raise. Well, it will be 300 schools. It is 300 or 280 or something like that, which is 17% of the entire number of state schools, which means that 17% will be getting a gigantic boost, and a predominant number of them are in the well-heeled areas.
David Safir will look for your work at TucsonWeekly.com. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Coming up this afternoon, Mike Chack with Mike Shaw, and that show airs from 4 to 5, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, and then me, Bill Buckmaster. I'll be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow with the Buckmaster Show. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening. On behalf of my fine friend Bob Dio on the other side of the glass, be well.